Okay, welcome to the Lately in PHP podcast. This is episode 37. After a lot of struggle with Google Plus Hangouts, we are finally recording. This time I have here with me to talk about several interesting PHP topics in this episode 37, Cesar Rodas. Hello, Cesar. How are you doing?
Hello, I'm doing fine. And how are you doing?
I'm doing fine, but for some reason the video disappeared. I wonder if we are live.
Well, I am alive here.
Can you see my video?
I can see yours.
Okay, let's move on before Google drops us from the Hangout. Well, as always, we have several interesting topics, things that have been happening lately in the PHP world. I think probably the most relevant thing that happened lately was the release of PHP 5.5. The announcement was just done like a few weeks ago. I'm not sure if the exact date. I'm sharing here the screen. Let me try to increase the font. I don't know if it is looking. Is this readable anyway for you?
Yes, I can read it fine.
Well, basically, there is nothing exactly surprising because we've been talking about PHP 5.5 for the last months, everything that was expected. And maybe you could quickly review what were the main most important features. There are many features listed here. I don't know. I don't think they are probably all that relevant, well, at least for me. Other people may have different opinions. And Cesar, for you, what were the most important features?
Well, the most important features are the generators, which are some concepts which are not new, but they became mainstream lately. So basically, you can just have several exit points from one function and just pause something and then resume. It's something cool. I haven't thought how I could use it. How can I make it really useful?
Have you tried it in practice? Because I find it so confusing, but I confess that I just look at the examples and could not figure exactly what.
Yeah, it was possible for me to understand easily because it looks somewhat like Python. Basically, you call it from a loop statement, either from while or from for each. And then when you yield something, it's like when you are returning.
Yeah. And so the yield statement is like a return value. So the generators, if I got this right, the generators are basically functions that generate values for an eventual iteration. It would be like supplying an array for the iterations that is built dynamically rather than a static array, right?
Exactly. Because that is like a pause statement. Like you turn it, but when that loop ends, you will continue after that yield operation. It's a bit confusing at the beginning, but then it makes sense. However, I didn't find how it could be useful from the top of my head. I think when you are writing a database library that could help you to iterate through your results. I'm not sure though.
Right. So this could be useful, for instance, if you are sending a newsletter to millions of users and they'll send to one user with the data retrieved with a generator, and then when you send the message to that user, you move on to the next user and it returns to the resumes the generator. So if I got this right, it continues exactly right after the yield statement. Is
exactly.
That correct?
Exactly.
okay, because this is so confusing that we never know where things are coming. And anyway, I was asking your opinion about the what were the most important features, not necessarily all that were listed in the page. For in your opinion, which other features of these new you think are important?
Well, the finalize statement is really good. So say right now it's a chunk of code that will be executed always. So that saves you a lot of coding into operation that must happen regardless of anything. So say you want to close a database connection if it succeed or if there was an exception. So the finalize is really useful.
Yeah. And I was trying to look to do all the listing, and other than that, any other of these features you thought would be interesting? Because there is one main feature which is not really a new feature, which is the support for the Zend Optimizer Plus caching, which means that finally PHP is shipping with a built-in caching.
Yeah, but that wasn't a problem for me. I always use one.
Yeah,
I think
everybody that has on a server can install an additional extension like
But I think
eAccelerator or something like that.
Yeah, I think one very cool change that has been unnoticed is the empty, because empty now empty is not a function. It's a compiler construction. So before this version, it was just accepting variable names. Now it can accept one expression. So that is really useful.
Oh, I see. Oh, I actually did not notice this feature.
Yeah.
Well, for me, it really does not look that there were so many important features, but it's what was like, I think, 16 months of development. The way I see it, the more complete PHP becomes, the more time new releases take to be produced. And that's probably, there are not so many developers interested to work actively on a newer version of PHP since it is becoming more and more feature complete. So what else would you like to add?
I have no idea, but I believe that PHP is getting into a state when it's becoming like a more stable thing, and I see that as a really good thing, because I don't have to upgrade. Like, I've been doing PHP 5.3 for the last couple of years, probably. Now I switch to 5.4, and everything worked before. So I don't know how often they do release thing. I do read always that they have two main versions, the .4 and the .5. But I could be wrong. I haven't seen anything new in the .3, in the 5.3.
Right. Well, regarding PHP 5.5, I don't think there is much more to say about the new things. It's great. Well, other than sending congratulations to all the core developers that have worked on it, because it did not come out of the blue. There's lots of people involved. Congratulations to the maintainers. I think it's Julian Polly, and I don't know if it was also David Soriapara that worked on it. It was also the maintainer of the previous version. Well, congratulations for them for their time and dedication, because all this is volunteer. Nobody is paying, I think. Nobody is paying for their time. So I hope this also continues to motivate other people to come and give time and dedication to to keep improving PHP on things that may still be missing. Other than that, a new thing that I just realized recently when I looked at the PHP.NET site, it seems they have launched a new design. I'm trying to sharing the screen here. Hang on, I minimized the window. I think this is the one. Okay. Can you see this now?
I can't see it.
Well, this is supposed to be the old design, and if you go, you may notice at the top they are inviting you to switch to the new beta PHP.NET site, which is not just looks, but has some new functionality, or at least I have not noticed it. I was zooming it a lot, and probably it was distorting. Well, as you may notice now, if you go, if you go here on the bar, there are fewer links at the top, and if you click on them, you can see a more detailed information about, for instance, downloads. You can download many things, like the current PHP versions, where to obtain development releases, as well other types of downloads. Same goes for documentation. You can get links directly to certain documentation sections, and what else? There is also information about community activities, like support mailing lists, conferences, events, and so on, as well get information about where to get help and other things. Other than that, I was trying to find where I saw a link to go to a PHP tutorial. It disappeared probably because they replaced it, or maybe they just changed it and I could not find it anymore. Well, anyway, Cesar, what did you think about this change in the design of the site?
Well, I'm not a web designer, so I can't say much about the technical details, but it looks marvelous. I like it.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that I'm really used to the old website, I do love this version. I didn't saw though how a function page looks like. Like, can open it now, say php.net/ and something. I don't know. One function.
Yeah. Are you saying that it does not work? I have not tried that.
Because whenever
it's not working for you?
No, I don't remember seeing it. Well, it looks almost like the same thing except by the header. So that is great because I'm so used to that page. Like whenever I don't know what function does, and PHP has thousands of functions, I just open that website.
Yeah, well, that's what I do. I practically no longer go to the PHP.NET site and search things. I use mainly to look up for documentation. So I already typed the function that I'm looking for in the URL. Well, now that I got back to the home page, what I was seeing before, the tutorial link showed up. I think it disappears if you click on other links. And it is interesting because I think for newbies it is very useful. They want to. They have several frequently asked questions that the newbies ask, and they could go here and just have some very basic examples, like the basic hello world, and how to do something useful, starting working with forms, and probably other things. And well, I don't know. It seemed like a good improvement. Other than that, the whole design was what some people think as old. And it doesn't matter if the design is functional and people are very productive with it. Some people complain, oh, that site is old because you know, they haven't changed the design in 10 years. And this certainly happened with the PHP classes. And when I switched to that design, lots of people were happy without even trying, and they did not even notice that the core functionality did not work because it was mainly a change in headers and footers and just things related with the aesthetics. And but it seems that for some reason people feel better just because they see something new. This means that even if your site is not improving, it is always good to keep the looks updated. I think at most you should switch to a new design after probably no more than 4 years. And if you go to a shopping mall, you see that they keep changing the windows, and that's to give the sensation that there is something actually new. And sometimes it's not anything new, just a new layout, new products being exposed, and but those products already existed before. They're just trying to grab the attention of the user. It's just to look modern.
Yeah, like we used to make jokes about it. Like the Microsoft motto is that if you can make it right, you'll just make it look right.
Yeah.
But this is not the case. Like, I find the website looks nice and has a lot of information, which is to serve its purpose, which is to
yes. In this case, it was not aesthetics. It's they added a few details. This tutorial, I think, it was a great idea.
Yes.
For newbies, because PHP is already very popular among newbies, precisely because it is easy to use. But if you can make it even user easier, I mean, for newbies. It will get even more popular, and if PHP already has 75% of the websites, now it's going towards 99%.
Exactly.
And all the anti-PHP users will be even more annoyed. But, well, I'd like to apologize to all of them. It was not intentional to annoy them. Okay. Well, jokes aside, it was good to give a fresh new look and to tell people that PHP is very not only very mature and being updated regularly, but it also looks fresh, even if it's just the visuals of the site. Well, okay, now moving on to another section of this hangout, I would like to comment something that I discovered recently, but this time it's actually something that is really new, not something that existed. I was just not aware, but it is something that is called the PHP Internals Book. And this is interesting because it seems to be an initiative by several developers. Julian Poli, that we mentioned before, he was one of the maintainers of the PHP 5.5. and there is also Anthony Ferrara and Nikita Popov. All these people are very well known and reputed PHP developers, and I think they had a great idea, which is to document better the way the PHP internals work. I just do not understand why they did not include this documentation inside of the PHP.NET site. I don't know if there is any politics preventing that to happen. I have no idea. One thing that brought me to this site was the fact that I think it was Julian that mentioned they had a new section on classes and objects. So basically, this site is useful for those that are willing to understand how PHP works internally and how you can, for instance, develop new PHP extensions. Cesar, I think you have developed some PHP extensions, right?
Right. Like, I did two of them. One I finished and I published. And the second one, which is to be a little bit more complicated, I will release it when sometime. And find information about that is really complicated. Literally, if you want to actually learn, you need to download another extension and see how they made things.
Learn from by example.
From the top of my head, I think there are only two books. I bought one of them. It's very good book, but still, I was developing something that was a little bit more complicated. Basically, I wanted to give the possibility from the user land to call to any library. So you would load a .dll file from Windows and call their functions and be some sort of a proxy. And finding information about that was really difficult. And when I was asking for help over Twitter and over the IRC channels, the first answer was one function does something like that. I said, like, I don't remember which function it was, but I said something like call underscore user underscore function, and they told me, okay, go and see how that function is being written and do the same. So it was not helpful. So I think that this initiative is something amazing. Like, I can help in any way, I would help it gladly, because I think that when you are developing extensions like that, you became in a exclusive club, like the Fight Club. Like, you do not talk about the Fight Club. So you don't talk about how you do things. You just do them. And if you can write something, you prove that you are worthy. So then they show you things. So I think that is not right.
Right.
But it is what it is.
From what I understood, this is not exactly a book, or at least for now, it is not a book. Maybe it is the draft for an eventual book, e-book or printed book. For now, it's a site that has this information you can look up. So I think it is very useful, as you said, and congratulations to all the authors for having this idea that certainly addresses a long time existing need, and I'm sure many developers will appreciate it and find it a good complement of to other existing books about writing extensions and other things related with the internals. Okay, now moving on to the next topic, we're going to comment on a feature proposal. And let me start it here. Oh, this got back to the old design. Oh, that's because it is in a different window. We just need to comment about this feature, which is to it's just a proposal, not exactly something that is exactly going to be implemented, because for now it's not even being voted. It's basically a proposal to have a way to catch extensions, I mean exceptions, and to have not be required to declare a variable to assign the exception object. Well, I think this is probably too basic. I don't know if it even deserved to be a feature. I don't know. Well, if somebody proposed it, is because they have a need for this, but I could not figure what would be the need. Cesar, what do you think? Is this useful?
I do not know, to be honest. They are claiming, I read it, they claim that that would help to some static analyzer tool. So for the source codes, I believe that that will help to some IDEs to just analyze better the code, but I cannot see how that can be useful. And they said that there will be some performance improvement, but those improvements are just minor. It's basically you would not create a local variable, which you are probably saving some microseconds or picoseconds. It doesn't even
work. That's a great optimization.
Yeah. So I don't know why, but at the end, I found out why they want to do that. Because that is valid in other languages like Ruby, Python. So they want to just know that.
So they want to catch up on features. Oh, Ruby has this feature, and we have to have it too, or else they start complaining that PHP sucks. It does not have a feature.
Probably.
Well, okay. Yet another one of those features just bloating PHP. Okay, let's move on with the next topic to comment on this podcast. There is there was a proposal. Actually, it's not even a formal proposal. It was just a discussion of an eventual new feature that will allow to have something like type inting for return values of functions. Just like there is type inting for function parameters, you would have now also type inting for return values. So basically this is like without putting it explicitly, to do what is necessary to have a fully typed language. I mean, you are not required to declare the types of the variables and the parameters and return values of functions, but you would have a way to enforce that the correct types are being passed to functions. I just don't know if this would impose a significant overhead if it is enabled at runtime. Cesar, did you look into this proposal or at least discussion?
Yes.
What do you think about the idea?
Why I understood, I think this is a good idea, but with an ugly format. So. But that's something different. But what they wanted to do, they didn't want to create a fully typed language. What they wanted to do is that you can return some types. So what I understood, I could be wrong though, it's the same checking that are happening on the parameter list. So you cannot say, this is a number. Like, that's not possible, but you can tell this is an object of this type right now. So they wanted to do that, exactly that.
Yeah.
And what I heard, I think it was from Rasmus in some podcast, that makes sense, because if you have a function and it expects a number and you pass one string, nothing happens. So it won't be a fatal error. But if you have a function that is expecting one PDO object and you pass one number, that will break it. So that is where the checking happens. So the same thing they wanted to apply now, or somebody wants to apply that to the function returning types.
Yeah.
I think that could be useful, especially because it will save us a couple of lines of code, like whenever you are calling to one function that you do not trust, you will not check that its output is what you expect.
Right, but it seems that the type hinting information would have to go on the actual class declaration, right? Or is it on the calling of function?
Like, that will be on the function declaration. Like, I believe that how people would use it is that they will define a couple of interfaces, and in the interfaces, they will put a function declaration that must return a object of, I don't know, of some weird class, or some sub object. I think that's cool. That's not strictly necessary to make PHP a better language, but it's something cool.
Yeah, I think it's useful. But usually, when you see people proposing things like that to have a way to enforce data types, what they claim is that it will add a significant overhead to the execution of PHP code. Well, I did not notice all the anything like that in the comments, but I also did not look at all comments with attention. So I wonder, do you think it will add a significant overhead, or maybe it is something that it's not a big deal, and you can even have that overhead at runtime, I mean production environment?
I think there will be a couple of more opcodes that will be generated, but it's not going to be the end of the world. Because right now, say, I am writing a library, and I'm giving the possibility that someone could provide me a callback function. And I never trust why they return, so I will check it. So I check it whether I like it or not. And if something is wrong, I throw one exception. So what they are proposing now is that step happens automatically if you declare your function in some way.
Yeah.
Which, as before, that could be useful, but I don't know if it would serve its purpose, because if it changed its syntax and if it became something super verbose like Java, that would just scare people out.
Well, so this is optional. You just declare the types if you want them. If you do not want them because you think it will become too slow, or if your religion does not permit it, or whatever is your reasons, I think you cannot use it. There was somebody that actually proposed to have a new option in php.ini to disable the checks in the production environment. So if there are any issues, they will not trigger any exceptions or whatever happens when you break the expected type. And well, I think that probably would address that concern of the eventual overhead. But usually when somebody proposes that, there is somebody that says, oh, no, you already have too many options in php.ini. And,
yeah, but you have to think that all these were proposals. They came either from people from foreigners, like people from other languages, or from framework guys. So they are not concerned about performance.
Yeah, right. Well, they are already using frameworks, so it probably won't have much more overhead. Well, that was a joke. I don't know. I'm not sure if it was Rasmus that commented something along those lines. If you're already using a framework, you already given up too much performance, so...
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, it depends on the frameworks. There are those really bad ones, and there are just the bad ones. So, okay, jokes aside, well, I think it is useful. It has its purposes, and it would be helpful to contribute to better quality of the code on which you can eventually catch up more bugs before shipping your code to production. So I think it's a very valid concern. Anyway, moving on to with the podcast, now I'd like to comment a bit, a couple of things related with PHP Classes site. One is a long time requested feature, and this is totally related with the fact that I invited you to come to this podcast, which is a reputation system that after, how long was it, like 6 years we've been talking about having a karma system in PHP Classes.
Yeah, exactly. It was since I met a friend who wrote a website which looks like Dig.
Yeah.
Back at that time, Dig was popular, and he wrote the Spanish version, and he wrote some sort of karma system, and he made it open source. Basically, he wanted to give some sort of worth to every vote. So, and he wrote a karma system, and I show you that. I said,
yeah,
that will be great if you can rank user by how valuable they are to the community rather than just to a download count. And we were talking about it, and I'm really glad that it is finally in production.
Right. Well, it's not like it took 6 years to develop. So it was more like 7 months that took to develop. It was part of a greater plan, which is to include new features that give greater feedback to the authors and also users that are not authors of classes regarding how they are doing, and also see a sort of a total of their participation in the site in the form of points that are assigned to each good action that a user does on the site. So basically, there is this article that I have published like a couple weeks ago, and it even has a demo video that you can watch later if you want, but I can show you quickly how this works, because if you go to the now every page on the site for users that are logged do show this yellow button at the top. So let's see how this appears in practice. And that yellow button is shows some points that you have earned, and it is actually a link to your reputation page. So you can see all the good actions that you did in the past. In the case I'm showing here, what I have done recently, I haven't done much. There is a large number here which represents the points earned due to the fact that the classes that have been downloaded by users of my classes, and this is basically a report that shows all the actions, all the points that are earned, sorted by time. I have different types of points related with different types and actions, and each action is related with at least one type of reputation. For instance, if I am a class author, there are actions that I have done as class author. And there is a link here, for instance, to the class author page that I can click to view all the actions that I did in that type of reputation. I have added lots of classes, and you can see here all the points that I've earned for all these classes. I can also lose points if I reverse an action. For instance, I have removed one package that for some reason it was no longer interesting, so I lose the points that I have earned by then. So there are other actions. You can see it detailed, and you can see the whole listing over time. So it goes back to the beginning of the site. It is not just the actions that you have done recently since this system was launched. So you can look at it with all the details, all the dates, the things that happen. Other than that, you can also see your totals of points by action. For instance, I have participated in all these actions, I have earned these points, and there are lots of other actions that I may have not yet participated, so I have not earned any points, but I could engage on those actions and earn more points. So this is a sort of a hint of how to earn more points and increase my reputation. There are many types of actions that are not yet supported. I mean, the site is not yet ready to recover the points that you have earned for doing those actions, but these will be implemented over time. Other than that, there you can see your total points accumulated by types of reputations. For instance, if we go on this page, and you can see the types of points that you did by as class author. There is also another type of reputation called experience, which is basically things that you did repeatedly, like coming to the site or did some other action repeatedly. There is another type of reputation, which is a reviewer, which consists of points that you earn for reviewing other people's actions, like rating packages or voting on innovation or nominations. You can even earn more points, extra points, if you nominated a package that was the winner of the month. So that contributes. That means that you somehow got it right, like others, to vote on the winner. So you get extra points, and so on. And other than that, there is a ranking of all the actions, all the points that you earn. You can see how you are doing relatively to other users. So guess who is number one?
I am.
So are you proud? Did you tell your mom, "Mom, I'm number one"?
Yes, I did. Yes.
So if you and if somebody does not believe, what did you do to earn to be number one or whatever is the number? You can click here on your name in, and you can see the details. You can see all the actions, and see why did you earn all these points? Why you were the leader? You can see you earned the Innovation Award winner twice. You got 200,000 points. You were the winner. Actually, you got also points for depending on the results that you reached on the Innovation Award, and you also get points for being nominated for the Innovation Award, and get extra points for being the winner. You also get many points for publishing packages. And so on. You can get all those details that I'm showing about my participation. You can also see about other users. So this is useful to be transparent, because if you are showing a ranking and you want to know why some user is doing better than other, you can actually see why it score better.
Yeah. I have a technical question about that whole system, if I may ask.
No, you cannot ask.
Okay, I will ask it anyway. So about that system, I believe that that needs to calculate a whole amount of data for millions of users, probably. You wrote all that in PHP?
No, I use C++. Just kidding. No, well, you know, everything that is on a database and what is the slowest thing on the system is not the PHP, it's the database.
Yes.
But anyway, that's I suppose that your question is related with the fact, is PHP capable of handling large amounts of data? Well, yes, but the answer is related with the architecture. It's not just a matter of the language is fast enough or not. It's also a matter of architecture. First, I do not calculate the reputation of users that are not coming to the site. So the site has like 1.2 million users, registered users, and the site is not calculating all the reputation of all of them. Just only the users that are coming to the site. So it's like probably a bit more than 100,000 users. Still, it's lots of users. But all the things are calculated gradually. And it's not like I'm going to make this big calculation. And it's calculated. There are schedules to calculate. For instance, the ranking is updated only once a day. I do not need to update the ranking on demand. It would be stupid. Yeah. It would not serve any purpose. And
that was my point. Like that was that what I wanted to get that you can do and you can write as I write like many times like console scripts in PHP that can run from a cron tab and you don't need a framework to do that.
Frameworks make it worse.
Exactly.
No, just so, kidding. What is done is you look at some task. If that task will take too long, first you cannot do it on demand.
Exactly.
For instance, the calculation of how many users your package have. If you are having new users every day, the number is not updated live. It's just once a day.
Yeah.
And another detail is that IQ, Q is not probably the correct word. I do it in a sorted manner. For instance, if I need to calculate the ranking of the users by reputation, I do not. I only do that after I have calculated, updated the number of users of each author, each package. So I avoid having parallel scripts doing heavy tasks. And before you ask, all this is done in a single server. It's not that I need a cluster.
A house of servers. The cloud.
I need the cloud. You need the cloud. You need a cloud so you can be last. Well, if I ever need get to the point of needing to have a cluster or put it in the cloud, like people like call it, it's because it's good news. It's because the audience raised an incredible proportion that I could not really fit it all in one in a single server. But eventually that will happen. But for now, it's not yet there. I think I'll get there sooner or later because the site keeps growing. It's like it keeps growing like 200 or 300 new users every day, and that's a lot.
Yes.
I think.
And when you reach that point, that means you need another server, but not because PHP sucks. It's because database sucks. And they also because they do a lot of I/O, a lot of things that takes time.
Yeah.
So PHP is not a problem. That also will mean that you are wealthy, so you can just buy an entire cloud when you reach that point.
Oh, sure. I'll be very, very rich. And I'll buy Amazon. Just one company off the top of my mind. I'll buy Amazon. Oh, well, they'll with all that load. Oh well. Anyway, just to complement this, this is just a part of a longer plan to make the experience of the site more fun and rewarding for people that actually provide value, participating in the site in many ways. In the previous step that was a part of this plan, it was implemented a system of missions and levels, which was mainly targeted to class authors, so they could engage on a series of missions that they could do small things that will benefit the exposure and the visibility and recognition that they may get from their work. But this time, this reputation system is not targeted just to class authors. You can see that you can engage on actions that are useful to make the site better, but you do not need to be a class author. Like, for instance, you can rate packages. That's one thing that is really, really lacking. The site needs to encourage more users to rate packages so the other users can realize better which are the packages that are more appreciated, not necessarily the ones that get more downloads, which sometimes can be a bit misleading. And other than that, there is this is just one step, as I mentioned. The following step is to answer that eventual question that some authors and users say, what would I do with all these points? Are these points any useful other than showing rankings? And the answer is yes. The site will provide privileges to users so they can redeem those privileges according to their interests using those points. They will not lose the point. They just take them out from a sort of a credit, and they will use those points to obtain certain privileges. Some of the privileges are things that I wanted to implement, but I did not implement yet, because if I provide to all users of the site at the same time, then it causes a major load to the site, and it would not be viable to provide to all users. But if I can provide to a small a number of users that want to have those benefits and they are willing to do some actions to earn points and redeem those points by getting those benefits, those privileges, that will be more viable. But for now, it's just a plan. There's a lot of work ahead. This part of the reputation system is not totally done. As you may have seen, there are actions there that the site was not is not yet able to recover the past actions to assign points. That will be done in the next days, weeks. And there are many small things related to this reputation system, and then finally move on to the next step, which is to redeem privileges. Talking about privileges, Cesar, in your opinion, which should be some interesting privileges that you would like to get using your points, which would be interesting for you, maybe for others? Do you have any ideas?
I have no idea. And being my name in the first place, it's something that makes me more than happy. So
yeah, but that may not last, because your trend is to go down. Because you are not scoring match points, and soon somebody will be able to score enough points to surpass you.
Yeah, but I would submit some packages from my GitHub now that you finished that right. Feature. So
you are resting while you have some lead. Right. Okay. There is. Now moving on to the next topic, which is related with another article that I wrote about something related with this, which is the fact that PHP Class has reached 14 years of age, is now
a teenager,
and it's getting old. It's getting more people complaining about it, and this article somehow addresses those complaints, which are related with future features. First, in the article, I mentioned what I've been doing lately in the site, and I mentioned the system emissions levels that was launched last year, and also the reputation system. And for the plans for the future are several things that are being considered. It's not like I will implement all of these things soon. I have to sort them, and I have proposed them here, and there is also a survey that the users can help by filling and telling what they feel would be interesting to have first. I have considered several things. One of the things is the privileges for reputed users, as I have already mentioned, which is to redeem those points and get additional privileges. Many privileges can be considered, like, for instance, if you are an author, you want your packages to be published immediately, you can redeem some points and have the privilege of having priority in the moderation of all classes, new classes that are being approved. And if you, for instance, are very interested about to know what would be the next package that are going to be published, you could, for instance, redeem a privilege that would like allow you to see the packages that are in the moderation queue, and also already take a look at them and know in advance, and many other privileges. I have been collecting suggestions. One of those suggestions, for instance, in the case of the author, some authors would like to see some graphs and charts about their progress over time to see how they have increased, how they are increasing or not in the rankings, and so on. And there are other things. Some things may be more interesting than others. And for instance, if you are looking for a job, you can have the privilege to apply to the job with priority relatively to other users, and without having to pay for a premium subscription, which is one of the benefits of the premium subscriptions. So all the benefits of the premium subscriptions eventually will turn into privileges that can be redeemed using the points that users have accumulated. And so on. As I mentioned, there is a survey. If you want to participate and give your suggestions and rate all these future features and tell which ones would you like to see first, that will be helpful. And then I'll be also posting the link to the survey again in the show notes of this podcast, and I hope other people can. I already got a good bunch of participations, not many, like 10 or something, and some people already suggested some features. It is interesting that some features that were proposed already exist. That's because they are probably not getting very good visibility on the site, so that is also helpful to make them more visible. And other than that, there are several other features here, like, for instance, having a way to bookmark and tag packages so the users can find those packages they've been looking for later when they have more time, and also assign some useful tags that remind them of what they are about. This is a feature that has been requested for a long time, but unfortunately, it was not possible to somehow implement it because there were always things to implement first. Other than that, another feature that is a common source of complaints that is related to usability, you have a way to navigate faster through the packages and the files of the packages. And it seems to be consensual that lots of people like For instance, the way GitHub presents the files and the packages in the repositories, and the idea is to somehow implement something similar to minimize the clicks and the time people spend on just browsing code. I think this is one of the probably most voted features. Other than that, there is also being considered to make the site look better on small screens. I mean, could be mobile devices or screens with lower resolution, or at least that are of small size, could be tablets, could be mobile phones, and so.
I don't know how that particular thing or suggestion will be any useful. I consider myself a developer, and I had my phone because of the fact that it doesn't have a keyboard that I can touch. It's everything on the all of the screen. So it's cool for doing things, but I cannot even connect to one server. I cannot write anything but a short SMS. So that
I think this is more to browse content, just to read purposes. For instance, blog articles. You can read them on your mobile screen, but you probably will not be able or be motivated to comment because it's very frustrating having to type on a small screen. And so it's probably useful for reading stuff, but not for interacting. Yeah. Anyway, this is not one of the most requested features. It did not get many votes, but some people may find it interesting. So probably it will not get a good priority. Another feature that some people are requested, mostly developers, is to have the support to Composer. For those not familiar with Composer, it is an interesting tool that allows you to download packages and their dependencies. For instance, if a package needs another set of packages, those other packages will be downloaded. So the idea is to do whatever is necessary so PHP classes packages can be downloaded by users that want to install packages using Composer. Cesar, you are one of the people that requested this feature. How important do you think it is for you and for other developers?
Well, it depends. It is great because you say, I want to use this class, and how I would do it is that that's when the hard thing comes, like by sending a pull request to the maintainers so they can read the PHP class format. So what you gain by having Composer is that it will fetch all your dependencies and will place them in some folders so you can use them. However, it is prepared for and to work out of the box if you follow a couple of rules. For instance, the autoloaders. There are ways of trying to make Composer to just discover every possible class. I think that feature is not so difficult, and that it will bring a lot of benefits for some developers, especially if you are writing a system and if you are adding like deploying to 20 servers. So that process of fetching classes and their dependencies are just much easier.
Yeah, well, I think I see the use case for that. I think it will be helpful for the whole PHP community in general. They can even combine classes from different repositories. And from what I could gather, this probably is already working. I mean, I do not need to change anything on PHP classes. because it seems that the composer supports a basic HTTP authentication. So in the end, the work necessary to implement this is it will be even less than what I thought. And probably would not even require any patch to be submitted to the composer developers, which will probably be great, as it will only depend on having time to just make a few adjustments on PHP Causes site, because I think they support HTTP basic. The only thing that I would like to avoid is for people to share their real passwords on the site, especially now that the passwords are not exactly on the site, so the site could not even put them there. Let's see how this works.
Yeah, so for that to happen, two things should happen. The first thing is that you must generate some composer.json file for those packages who do not provide one, which bet it will be for 99% of the classes. So that file will, but that should be somehow simple. So that is not the difficult part. And in the PHP classes site, so when you open one of your one given class, so you just paste it, so you put some sort of hash there, and you say you copy and paste it into your composer file, and it will just work. So I rather have some sort of unique hash rather than typing my password, so I'll feel just much better.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It will never make you share your password. It will a new random password will be generated for that purpose, for those that are wondering why a password would even be necessary, it's because the site keeps track of the users that download each package, and that is important for authors for two reasons. One is to have accurate download count. Sites that do not implement authentication, they don't know if the user has downloaded a package today and tomorrow is the same or not. And worse than that, I have seen this, I think in Pair they had that problem, I don't know if they tried to solve it somehow, is that nowadays it's more than 80% of the traffic of the web is caused by bots that crawl the sites. So sometimes, my package was downloaded by hundreds of thousands of users. No, it was not users, it were not real users, it were crawlers, bots that crawl your site every day, and they crawl sometimes more than once the same page, and they crawl it again tomorrow because there is this competition between search engines, and they need to get all the changes, and since they don't know when the change happens, they need to crawl the sites multiple times a day. And if you go on a site and you see, I have hundreds of installs and downloads. Well, if the downloads are anonymous, chances are that the installs are not real, or actually done by bots, which is something that happens a lot. And there are new bots being created every day, not just Google or other search engines. There are bots for everything, and this is really annoying because it causes lots of load to the sites, unnecessary load. You can somehow put some exclusion rules in the robots.txt file, but many robots do not honor those rules, and it's really annoying. This is just a detail, and using authenticated downloads, the site will be able to provide accurate accounts. And the other reason to have authenticated downloads is that you will know the site will know which users have downloaded your packages. And if your package is updated, the site is able to send an alert to those users that have downloaded the package and say, oh, there's a new version. You do not need to poll the site every day just to know that the package was updated. And this is useful. Of course, some users do not like to register on sites, and I totally understand that. I don't like to register on the sites. But since some time ago, the site implemented what we call social login, which is you can log in with your accounts of social networks and other sites, not just Facebook and Google can log in with your account. You do not have to go through the whole process of verifying your email address to assure that you are really the owner of that account. You are not creating fake accounts just to increase your rankings. And it supports, besides Facebook, Google, and Microsoft accounts, I mean Hotmail and Windows Live, whatever they call it these days, Yahoo, and Stack Overflow. There are lots of users coming from Stack Overflow.
And also GitHub.
Yes, GitHub was the last to be added. I don't know, maybe I'll add a few more. But the reason why GitHub was added for last is because GitHub OAuth support added a bug. So I've been in touch with them, and you have a bug on the parameter that came from the redirection. Well, it doesn't matter. It's a detail related with OAuth. But they had a bug. The parameter came repeated, and I reported with them. They took like a few weeks to fix it, but they finally fixed it in the latest version of their API, and it was great. Now it is possible to authenticate. They even added support for the API to be read-only, because I think initially their API would allow sites that obtain access to the accounts to actually change their account, and that's not the purpose of the site. So it's now working, and the engagement even increased a lot. Many new users that no longer complain about the actual that have to be registered, because it's basically just two clicks just to go on the social login site and return and complete their registration on the PHP Casa site, and there you go. This is a long time complaint that was finally solved. Shame on me for not having solved it sooner, but well. That's no longer that complaint.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, basically.
Yes, I was about to say that is important, because GitHub is a mainstream, and all the hipsters like it.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, and not that you mentioned that sometimes I PHP classes is dead because there is GitHub now. Wait. There is people that actually came to PHP classes and import their packages from GitHub. So PHP classes does not exactly do the same as GitHub. It's not for the same purpose. It's more a complementary purpose, which is to give greater exposure. Because when you publish a package on the PHP classes site, there are thousands, hundreds of thousands of users that get newsletters and everything to know about those new classes. And once you publish in PHP classes, you get even more exposure than you just publish it on GitHub. GitHub is fine for it. It does, which is to be a project hosting repository, all those tools that facilitate collaboration. But that's mostly it. If you want to promote a project in GitHub, it's up to you to do the necessary marketing. It's not like you put it there and everybody, and you suddenly you become instantly instantly popular. You need to do some advertising. You need to spread it on other sites and hope for the users to pay attention to your work, because it's not instant popularity. Okay, well, other than that, one other feature, it's not exactly a feature, it's something that I'm planning to implement on the site, is to have a new section on which I'll be promoting products that developers want to sell, like, for instance, developer tools, commercial components, training courses, events that you want to sell tickets. And if you are interested on having a PHP course to promote those products, just go on this article. I'll be publishing some links to the contacts that you can go there to this article and follow the recommendations to get in touch and having some support. Actually, if you fill that survey about the features of the site that I'll put there, I will see that you will be interested to have to get a reply, a personal reply regarding what you are interested to promote. So that would be the way to go. Well, with this, there's a lot to do there. It will take some time to implement these things, but the future is bright. After all, this 14 years of age, PHP Quads continues to grow at a reasonable pace. And despite all those people that say, PHP Quads is going to die because there is now this and that site that is competitor. Well, I'm not in competition with anybody, and that was never the purpose. The site has a large user base and continues to grow, and that's because it continues to be useful. And regarding this, now it's time to move on to one of the final sections on which we comment about the Innovation Award winners. First, we start by the winners of the Innovation Award on the JS Classes site, which is the brother site. And this time we are going to start commenting first about the winners of April. The JS Classes site is a much smaller site, so it has not many sites being published there. It grows, sometimes it gets stable, and during the vacation it gets a lower participation, but then it continues to grow. So this time we had three nominees that were voted in. They published on April, they were voting on May, and in June the results come out. So from these three, which ones would you like to comment, Cesar?
Okay, I found more interesting the winner, which is the d.js. What it basically does is that it solves one asynchronous problem, which is the asynchronous problem which became mainstream with Node.js, because we were all doing it without knowing that it was actually asynchronous with JavaScript. So it solved a problem by the concept of the promises, which basically you create one action and then you give it some callback. So if it succeeds, call this function. If it fails, call this other function, and so forth. So it solved one problem, which is that you don't have to call one function and two functions as their parameters. Right. So, and I've been looking into the implementation. It's simple and very, very useful.
Yeah. Well, this one is published by Jonathan Gorty from France. Well, yeah. I'm sorry, I'm not able to
translate
the French accent. So I'm sure that's not the proper way to spell Jonathan's name. Anyway, I think it is interesting. We comment about this like monthly. There is also a podcast for JavaScript that we record once a month with Michael Kimsel usually, and we keep talking about these ways to handle conditions that are evaluated asynchronously, and this promises using promises in this case, Jonathan provided an implementation that you can handle two possible outcomes: succeed or fail. I think it's accept or reject, the correct names. So this is interesting. And but moving on to the next package, first I would like to mention one submitted by Mark Plow from Romania. I think his name is Mauritius, if he's not mistaken. This is Mark Plow, is a nickname. And this package, it is interesting. It's not like the usual classes that do something specific and that's it. In this case, it's basically a sort of a visual editor. You can interactively compose menus. Menus made of forms, select inputs, and that sort of work as a linked lists. And yes, a demo page. And let me see if I can show it working. Demo. Well, you can have here. You can create a new menu. Add some a function here, can have some values. You can already see it live how it works, and it is interesting because you can add other levels, you can add other items to the list, and you can also save it to save the definitions to a text file or a MySQL database with some help of some server-side code. In the case, the server-side code is implemented with PHP, so this is a composite component that has a PHP part and a JavaScript part. So this is an interesting component because you can see it working a sort of an application rather than a simple component, and it's great that we see more complex components like this in the site, and I hope Mauritius and other developers continue seeing more components like this. The other component that I also want to mention is called jQuery Ship. He was developed by also a regular contributor of the PHP class site. His name is Tobozo. I'm not sure if this is his real name. Probably it's also a nickname. And what it is very, actually a funny component that, as you may see here, it shows on the screenshot, it shows some elements on the page, and you can see some sheep walking around, and this is very funny. Let me see if there is a live demo somewhere. Okay, sheep generator. I think is it this one? Oh, okay, here it is. And you see some sheep walking around. This is very funny. I think you can influence on them. Not sure. And they even make funny noises. And I don't know. Can you listen to the noises?
Not exactly.
Yeah, they. They only make some noises once in a while. Oh, this is very funny. You may think, oh, this is not useful for anything other than make it funny. Okay, but you never know. People, coding is not just about doing things. Serious things that can be also very funny. Okay, I need to close this window because it will keep making noises, and we don't want that. So now, with this, we move on to our final section, on which we comment about the latest classes, this time published on the JS Classes site, also in the month of April. And let me screen share the whole list here. Okay, we have like 7 nominees, and these are a lot. Unfortunately, you do not have time to comment about all of them. You just can comment about a couple each. Which ones would you like to comment further?
Well, the first one is the PHP Redis JSON. I promised that I'm gonna look how it works exactly, but what it does, it removes some redundant things from from adjacent, so it make it as more and after that the final result is a total valid JSON, which is what we want, but smaller, which is useful because as you may know, if I never mention, I am crazy about micro optimizations, and this is one micro optimization that I would love to implement it myself, but somebody bit me.
Yeah.
This class is written by Dimitri Rusu, I believe. He's from Moldova.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, well, I'm not sure if the are you sure this generates valid JSON?
Yeah, from one...
Because it provides also a decoder in JavaScript, so I was wondering if that your claim that it generates valid JSON is would be accurate.
Yeah, I was looking at one of their samples, and that is what I understood by it.
Yeah.
You see, in the README file. Well, from the README file, they do decode it. It's small library, which is rjson.unpack. Well, I missed that bit, but however, that also fixed one problem that with old Internet Explorer, there is no JSON dot parse. So,
oh yeah. That's...
Yeah. Yeah. So.
No, I keep forgetting that browser. I don't know why.
Everybody does, but someone claims that the Internet Explorer, the new one, I don't know, probably 10 or 11, is much better. That might be true, but I'm wondering why nobody updates.
Yes, it's Microsoft holding off the development of the web.
Yeah, and the second class that I choose, it's the winner, which is the PHP Onviv. I don't know about this protocol, but I was reading just before the show in Wikipedia, and it seems that you can do a lot of good things with this protocol. So this package implements the protocol itself in PHP, so you can do operations to a video. I see from the example page that you can just add username and password, and you can create the video profile, the format, the capabilities, and the version, devices, and so forth and so on. So it is somehow useful.
Yeah. This is a very specific to a type of hardware that supports these features. But from what I understood, this is not exactly a proprietary protocol. It works based on SOAP requests. I think it's more an API implemented on a hardware device.
Yeah, that is what I would claim, because it names me Open Network Video Interface Forum. So I believe this is something a standard which are implemented by some hardware vendors.
Yeah, I think it's a common API implemented by different types of hardware devices. And with this component, it seems to be useful for that purpose. In this case, it was developed by Lorenzo Toscano from Italy. So kudos for him. It is interesting that it won the Innovation Award this month. It seems there is quite a few developers that appreciated this package. It's either that or his mom created many accounts and voted on him. Just kidding. No, it's not true. The site can detect moms that are voting for their son and eliminates those votes. It's not fair. There are some moms that are more enthusiastic than others. Well, now more on the serious side, I also would like to comment on a couple of packages. Unfortunately, we do not have time to comment on all, but one of them is this one called by PHP Digital Download Script by Vincenzo Di Baggio from Italy, and what it is basically is something that I see requests for a specific type, this type of application, which is to have some, you have some files that you want to make available only to some users, probably users that bought some license, and with this package you can manage those files and control users that can have access to those files and even have some statistics. So I think this address is frequently needed type of component. And so kudos for Vincenzo for his contributions. And the other package that I want to comment this time is the PHP Discus comment by Arthur Sozin's, also a regular contributor of both PHP classes and JS classes. Basically, he submitted a component that allows you to integrate better your comments on your blog, eventually with WordPress, and as it can export your comments in XML format, so it can be imported by the Discus commenting platform, which is becoming quite popular. You can see it in many sites. I personally have not used it. Actually, I do not even use WordPress or any specific blog system. But I think this will be useful to many people. So, kudos for Arthur for his submission. Well, basically, with this, we practically ended this podcast. It was a bit long because we commented a lot about the interesting things, not only related to the PHP world, but also things about the PHP classes, features and development. And I thought it was useful. It is already too long. So I'll not add any further other than thank you, Cesar, for coming, giving your insight. And on my behalf, that is all for now. Bye.
Well, thank you for the invitation, and see you next month, probably.
Okay. Bye.